Three Weddings and an Anniversary. Written by Pansy's Goth GF. Read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. This is, without a doubt, 100% Howard fucking Hand's fault. Ravi would shout it from the rooftops if he weren't also 100% sure they were never going to speak about this again. Or Ravi and Albert wake up together the night after the Madney wedding. Then they run into Buck and Eddie. Notes. This is another fic that I wrote almost at once, and mostly between 2 and 4 a.m. That being said, I love it dearly. It's so insane. We also see no weddings in this, despite the title and premise. Trigger warnings in the end notes. Chapter 1. This is, without a doubt, 100% Howard fucking Hand's fault. Ravi would shout it from the rooftops if he weren't also 100% sure they were never going to speak about this again. At least, Ravi's never going to speak about this again. Albert, on the other hand, is as bad a gossip as his brother and somehow worse at keeping secrets. Ravi might just have to kill him. No jury in the world would convict him for it. Chim would forgive him, seeing as this is all Chim's fault anyways. It's Chimney's fault because Chimney decided to marry the love of his life. Then he decided to have a wedding where he convinced Albert to fly down from Seoul. And fuck, Albert doesn't even live in the U.S. Ravi is so screwed. Then, Chim had a big blowout bachelor party where he got kidnapped, so his wedding turned into a search and rescue mission, and the reception turned into a, yay, Chim didn't die, let's all get wasted party. So, Chim's fault. Of course, because Chim was in the hospital and Buck was busy having emotionally charged conversations with his new boyfriend, the helicopter pilot, and Eddie, possibly his ex-husband, no one will give Ravi a straight answer about that. Albert decided he was going to drink with Ravi. They'd met once or twice at 118 events, and Ravi had heard about Albert from Buck and Chim enough to know that the guy was a bit of a frat boy at heart. Still, he was nice, and they had a decent enough conversation that Ravi didn't even really notice he was getting that drunk. And so, what if it helped that Albert was really fucking hot and also Ravi's type? He's only a man. A few hours and a metric fuckton of alcohol later saw Albert saying something about wanting to get out of his 1.0 phase, whatever that means, then asking Ravi if he wanted to settle down one day. And Ravi had said something in the affirmative, they had even more to drink, and then Ravi was waking up. In a hotel room, and not his apartment, like he'd been planning on. A hotel room that was occupied, if the heavy arm around Ravi's waist was anything to go by. And look, Ravi's had drunk hookups before. He's had one-night stands and situationships and all that jazz. He's not exactly a blushing virgin here. He doesn't initially freak out about it. Then he looks down and sees the little platinum ring on his left ring finger that matches the ring on the hand that's resting over his abdomen. Then Ravi freaks out. He sits bolt upright in bed, which is probably a mistake because his head spins a little and nausea curls in his gut. Closing his eyes helps, but it still takes a moment for him to fill up to opening his eyes. A moment in which Albert wakes up, probably due to Ravi sitting up in bed. Good morning, Albert says when Ravi looks down. He sees the blanket has shifted, showing off the fact that Albert is incredibly naked. Which, like, Ravi knew because he was all pressed up against him, but it's different seeing it. What time is it? Did you want to get some breakfast or something? The thought of food is both tempting and horrific, given how hungover Ravi is. But he has more important things to touch on before he can think about getting a Big Mac. No, I want a divorce. Albert turns his head and groans into his pillow. When he talks, it's muffled enough that Ravi asks him to repeat himself. Are you married? Albert says, head turned just enough for Ravi to make out his words. Because I hate sleeping with married people. It makes me feel used. Ravi's heart aches a little for Albert because the idea that he's been in that situation more than once really sucks. Then Ravi remembers that he's married to Albert and he still feels worse for himself. No, we got married last night. I want to not be married. There's a moment where Albert just looks at him with an expression that gives off no thoughts, head empty vibes, before he looks down at his hands and hums, I didn't realize people could get married like this in L.A. Me neither. I thought it was just in movies about Vegas, Ravi says, flopping back down onto the bed. We could probably get it annulled. You seem not as hungover as me. Google how to get a marriage annulled. Albert hums and grabs his phone off the bedside table. After a couple of minutes, he starts reading from a list. Okay, well, neither of us is underage. We're not committing fraud because I already have an American citizenship. No one forced us to get married, and you just said you aren't married to anyone else. Oh, inability to consummate the marriage. We might not have had sex last night, right? Ravi purses his lips. We definitely had sex last night. Well, we're both naked, so we might have, but there's plenty of reasons for two guys to wake up naked together that don't have to do with sex. Albert looks over at him with such conviction that Ravi is a little taken aback. I mean, Buck told me that he and Eddie were both at least half naked when they woke up yesterday from the bachelor party. Although Buck was on the floor and Eddie was in a bathtub, so it's different from a bed. From here, Ravi can see the fresh hickeys and scratch marks littering Albert's torso. He can also see multiple used condoms in the trash bin next to the bed. Still, there's more damning evidence that Ravi's been aware of since waking up. Albert, I can still feel you in me. You fucked me last night, bud. He texts the bud on there because he's not really sure what you're supposed to call your one-night stand slash husband. He's pretty sure it's not bud, but he hears Eddie call Buck that enough that it must become permanently entwined with ex-husbands in his brain. Albert is looking very head empty again, staring blankly down at the blanket covering Ravi from the waist down, like he'll be able to know for sure that Ravi's telling the truth that way. Ravi refuses to move an inch because, along with feeling like he's just been fucked, Ravi's pretty certain that there are hickeys on his ass and thighs. He can't deal with this, because he might actually sleep with Albert again, and that's not going to get them unmarried anytime soon. What's next? Albert looks up, but doesn't say anything, just sort of stares at Ravi. Albert, what's the next thing on the list? Oh, Albert blinks a few times. Oh, we're not related, so not that. We're not getting in an old because of any mental health issues. Oh, we were both drunk. Yes! Ravi rolls a little towards Albert in excitement, then regrets it immediately when he sees how fucking close Albert is. He's not having a two-night stand with his husband. That's not what's happening here. So, do we just go to the courthouse and ask for one? Albert squints at the phone screen some more, then shrugs. I mean, might as well. After taking turns in the shower getting dressed, Ravi in the shirt and dress pants he was wearing last night, no underwear on account of the state they were in. Albert in a t-shirt and gray sweatpants because, apparently, he wants his husband to be horny for him. They get into Albert's rental car. Albert does bring them through the McDonald's drive-thru, which is a point in his favor, husband-wise. They get to the courthouse just after noon, the sun shining in the sky making Ravi wish that he'd moved to Washington or New York. Somewhere with rain and clouds that doesn't have incessant sunshine on days when he's getting his sham of a marriage dissolved. Thank you. Unfortunately, he lives in Los Angeles, which means it's a beautiful day in late spring. He has a headache, his stomach is in knots from the combination of booze and junk food in his system, and he's still wearing a ring on his finger like he's not about to beg a judge to declare their marriage over before it ever begins. It's a shitty day, is what he's saying. But only for him, really. Sure, there are a few people streaming in and out that look upset or even angry, but there are also people who look happy. There's two women holding a chubby toddler between them, their family surrounding them as they laugh and kiss his little cheeks. There's a person smiling down at their driver's license, a piece of plastic so unblemished Ravi thinks it must be new. There's a couple making out against the side of the building. At first, Ravi barely glances at them, their happiness rubbing at the raw wound that is Ravi's current predicament. All he really gets is that it's two men, both dressed rather nicely, with their hands all over each other. In the end, he's not sure whether it was curiosity or something in his brain recognizing the forms of the two men that gets Ravi to look back. Still, he does, squinting a little, trying to make out details about the person. The funny thing about getting chased around by someone holding a chainsaw, regardless of how harmless you come to learn the person is that you recognize that person pretty much anywhere. Right now, Ravi can see Buck hulking over someone who has their hands in his hair, keeping him close. At this angle, Buck's bulk completely obscures the other person from view, but their hands are large enough that Ravi's pretty sure it's a man. Almost against his will, Ravi starts walking towards the couple. Albert trails behind him, and when Ravi looks behind him, he realizes that Albert's eyes are fixed firmly on Ravi's ass. Ravi, because he's always been a bit of a flirt at heart, swings his hips slightly, smiling at the sound that Albert makes. Again, Ravi is only a man, and not a particularly strong one at that. He likes to take pleasure where he can get it, even if that pleasure is between him and his almost ex-husband. "Hey, Buck," Ravi says when they're within talking distance. "What are you doing here?" Buck's lips pop off of his partner's with a slick pop, and Ravi would bully him about it if their separation hadn't revealed who he was hiding. Ravi's seen Eddie Diaz looking frazzled before, in the weeks between the citywide blackout and Christmas. He's seen Eddie looking happy after returning back to work, or when he and Tommy first started hanging out, and he and Buck sent Ravi into the sewers. Ravi's seen Eddie looking a lot of different ways, but he's never seen him look like this. Eddie's lips are red and swollen. His hair is messy from hands running through it, and his eyes are a little glazed, staring at slowly developing hickey that's peeking out from under Buck's collar. His own shirt is unbuttoned almost all the way down to his navel, and Buck's hand is slipped under it, cupping Eddie's ribs. "Oh, Ravi, Albert." Buck looks marginally more put together, if you ignore the hickeys decorating his neck and throat. Buck does, however, quickly get a look of panic that's soon mirrored on Eddie's face. "Shit!" Albert, finally dragging his eyes away from Robbie's ass to take in the scene in front of him, frowns. "Buck, dude, I thought you said you were dating the pilot." The hand on Buck's neck tightens, Eddie's knuckles twitching, and Buck is quick to run his hand up and down Eddie's ribs. "I went on, like, 2 dates with him. We decided to be friends a couple of days ago, but he still came to the wedding with me. He also went home with Josh last night, so Tommy's all good." "What about Marisol? I thought things were going well with the two of you, Eddie," Ravi asks, concern tinging his voice. He doesn't want to see Eddie fucking up and hurting someone that badly. "Oh," Eddie says, blushing a little. "She used to be a nun, and that really freaked me out. I ended up talking to my therapist about my feelings towards Catholicism, and he diagnosed me with being gay. So that's been over for, like, a week." Suddenly, Ravi very much wishes he never became a firefighter and got a more boring day job, even though he sort of decided on being a firefighter was because he was so bored. He bets people who do shit like data entry or mechanical engineering don't have to deal with this shit on a daily basis. "Wait," Albert says, lips curving downward. In all the time they've spent chatting, Buck and Eddie have yet to detangle from each other. "Why are you two making out in front of the courthouse?" Eddie makes a face. At first, Ravi thinks he's uncomfortable, but then he snorts. Then he laughs, which sends Buck into a fit of giggles. It takes them over a minute to collect themselves. We're getting married in, like..." Buck checks his watch, and Eddie grumbles about Buck's hand leaving his skin to do so. 20 minutes. Right now, we're just wasting time before we go in." There's a few moments of silence where they all just look at each other. Then Eddie's eyes narrow. "Wait, why are you two here together? Ravi, that's the suit you were wearing last night." In their usual show of freaky telepathy, Buck immediately catches on to what Eddie's saying. Albert, those are the sweatpants you wore every time you had sex with Veronica on my couch. And those are... holy shit, those are wedding rings! None of this would have happened if I had just told Chim to go fuck himself at the academy, Ravi thinks bitterly. No one can ever know about this, Ravi says, still bitterly. We're getting it annulled, like it never happened. Eddie's eyes dart over to Albert, who's very unhelpfully staring at Ravi's ass again, then back over to Ravi's hand, where he's still wearing his ring. Right. Oh, fuck. Buck suddenly looks a little pale. Oh, Maddie and Chim are going to kill us. Both of their siblings getting married the day after their wedding, while Chim's still in the hospital? I'm going to leave my husband a widower. Baby, you're going to be a widower. Eddie shrugs, leaning in to start kissing at Buck's neck again, like he physically can't stop himself for too long. Been there, done that. We'll bury you next to Shannon. Make it a family plot. For some reason, that makes Buck blush and tear up a bit, like what Eddie just suggested is in some way romantic. And Ravi really can't do this. Nope, no one's going to die because Albert and I are going to get this whole thing annulled, and then it'll only be you two dumbasses getting married, like last night never happened. There's a flash of hurt across Albert's face, but he quickly covers it up. Not quick enough for Buck not to notice, though. He stares them down for a second like he doesn't have Eddie hang off of his neck like a vampire. I don't know. Obviously, you two are free to dissolve your marriage, but you can't go back in time. Last night happened, and it happened for a reason. Maybe not a good reason, but I think it's kind of a shame for you not to even talk about why you got married in the first place. It takes Ravi back a bit, a flash of the night before coming back to him. They'd talked about both wanting to settle down, wanting to be married to someone and share a life together, both wanting to travel and give back to their communities. After 2 years of being back in Seoul, Albert had decided that he wanted to permanently relocate to Los Angeles to be closer to G and Chim. Ravi wanted to stay in L.A. because he loves it here. On paper, they make sense. Laying it all out there, they have the same wants long term. They have similar life goals, and now that Albert's got an audition with the Los Angeles Philharmonic playing assistant principal cello, they both seem to have found their dream careers. And it's not like Ravi doesn't like Albert. They spent most of last night talking, and never once did Ravi feel like his social battery was drained. It's not love. He hasn't known Albert nearly long enough for that. But it feels like a prelude. A good start to a build-up. Ravi still doesn't remember everything from last night. He doesn't remember them actually getting married or having sex, but he thinks that maybe they could have time. Maybe they can talk about this, sit on it for a while and see where it goes. You're right. Albert's eyes snap up to meet Ravi's, something like hope building there. We should talk about this. Albert breaks into a beautiful smile that takes over his whole face, and something warm sparks to life in Ravi's chest. It feels like the beginnings of a crush, giddy and a little childlike. They carefully hold hands, and Ravi can't even begin to care about the fact that Albert's palms are a little sweaty, or that Eddie and Buck are back to making out behind him. He has a crush on his husband, and that alone has made the insanity of today worth it. They say their goodbyes to Buck and Eddie, who just wave them off as they start straightening out each other's shirt before they go in to get hitched. Together, they walk back to Albert's car. I know we said we were going to talk, Albert says when they're about 5 minutes away from the hotel, after they've spent the first part of the drive quietly singing along to Post Malone together. But I haven't been able to stop thinking about the fact that we fucked last night, and I can't remember it. Ravi squirms a little in his seat, heat simmering in his belly. Are you uncomfortable about the fact that we had sex? No, Albert says, and one of his hands drops to Ravi's thigh, gently squeezing. I just really wish I could remember it. There are a few moments of silence before Ravi starts gently tracing one of the veins on the back of Albert's hand. You know, I bet if we slept together now that we're sober enough, it'd be better than when we were blackout drunk. Better memories, too. They get to the hotel in record time, racing up the stairs with their hands intertwined and matching smiles on their faces. It's the honeymoon phase. Soothe them. The backyard of the Buckley Diaz home is spacious enough to fit several lawn chairs around in a semicircle surrounding the makeshift dance floor. It's getting close to midnight, the light from the Edison lights strung up between the trees and the house the only light they have. Right now, Maddie and Chimney are having the last dance of their first anniversary being married. Maddie's wearing a beautiful lilac-colored sundress, her hair falling in waves over her shoulders. The two aren't quite fully pressed against each other on account of Maddie's baby bump in between them, but neither seems to mind. They really are a beautiful couple. The song ends and Bobby stands up, raising his glass of soda water and clinking a spoon against it. It's officially midnight, which means we're moving on from the Buckley Hahn first year anniversary party to the Buckley Diaz and Panikkar Hahn anniversary party. I have to say, it was a shock coming into work last year and having Buck, Eddie, and Ravi tell me that they got married since I last saw them and needed to fill out paperwork. It made a little more sense when I found out Ravi had married Albert, not Buck and Eddie. The way they're standing, Albert behind Ravi's back holding him in his arms, Ravi can feel his husband laugh. Although, I have to say that even that came as a bit of a shock. At the time, none of us knew that Albert and Ravi knew each other, or that Eddie and Buck were seeing each other. I have to say I was a little nervous about all these people I love rushing into something so meaningful. Bobby looks down, then looks over at Buck, expression fond. I shouldn't have been. Over the last year, I've had the privilege of watching three couples build lives as newlyweds. Buck and Eddie, your partnership on and off the field is one of the strongest I've ever seen. There's not a day that goes by where I don't feel grateful I hired you both. Getting to be... Bobby's voice breaks and he has to take a second before he can continue. Getting to be a grandfather to Christopher and Daniela has been my honor. Thank you for gifting me that title. Across the yard from them, Ravi can see Eddie lean down to kiss Daniela's head, her soft blonde curls just visible from where she's strapped to his chest. Next to him, Buck wraps an arm around Chris, who leans into his dad's side despite being 15. Ravi and Albert. Bobby's gaze turns to them, and Ravi feels warm all over the same way he did during his helmet ceremony. I've had the privilege of seeing you two take what was an unexpected and somewhat awkward situation and build a beautiful marriage from it. I've seen you two build a friendship, then a love, and now a life together. Watching the two of you continually grow and make each other better has filled me with pride. A tear slips down Ravi's cheek, and Albert stoops a little to press a soft kiss against it. They really do love each other, as much as it would have surprised Ravi to know that a year ago. Now, since neither of them had an actual wedding ceremony, there's complaints of hypocrisy from the crowd, which Bobby waves away with a laugh. I'm able to say that it's my honor to present Ravi and Albert and Eddie and Buck for their first dances as married couples. There's a soft cheer through the crowd, everyone cautious of Daniela's little ears and Mara sleeping against Hen's chest. Maddie expertly takes Daniela from Eddie, pressing a kiss to her brother-in-law's cheek as he walks by. A soft country song starts playing through the little speaker Chris had set up in the corner, making Eddie laugh as he pulls Buck into his chest. Albert pulls Ravi in too and begins swaying them back and forth. His practice cello is sitting in its case on the patio from when he played for everyone earlier. Oftentimes, Ravi sort of hates the fact that he's a landlord. He hates it a little less when it means he can buy his husband a cello to play for their friends and family without worrying too much about one of the kids accidentally damaging it. So, are you regretting not getting this thing annulled? Albert says, lips pressed against Ravi's ear. They've both had the day off today, meaning they've spent most of it naked and in bed together. Ravi shivers a little and pulls Albert in for a kiss. Best drunken choice I've ever made. Ravi says honestly, bringing his hand up to trace over the contours of Albert's face. The past year hasn't been easy in the slightest, with both of their parents disagreeing with their marriage for various reasons. getting to know one another while figuring out things like living situations and a post-nuptial agreement that Albert's dad insisted on under the illusion that Ravi had less money than him. Wrong, but Mr. Han never needs to know that. Ravi getting hurt badly a few months ago didn't help either. Still, the last year of Ravi's life has filled him with more joy than he ever thought possible when he was a little kid, watching his life slip away from a hospital bed. He has a husband he loves, a career he's built for himself, family he runs into fire for, and a life he can truly call his own. He's happy. And while most of that is him, a large part is also because of the man in his arms. They spin a little, and Ravi catches Buck's eye. He thinks back to talking to him a year ago, how thoughtful Buck had looked. Buck smiles a little now over Eddie's shoulder, and Ravi knows that even if he hasn't thanked Buck enough for getting them to talk, it isn't necessary. Buck knows. After all, they're family. Ravi still blames Chimney for all of this, though. Chimney has spun the story to make it out like he's been the matchmaker for every 118 marriage other than Bobby and Athena's, though. It's a frequent bickering point during their weekly family dinners. Ravi wouldn't have it any other way. The end.